You're listening to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldeck,
author and Bible teacher from South Africa, and you're listening to the Bible Insights podcast. We're starting off this podcast by studying the book of Revelation. This is one of the most exciting books in the Bible because it's written for and about our time. We won't be studying the entire book word for word in this series. Because it's a long book, it has 22 chapters, what we're going to do is look at highlights and high points. We're going to look at some of the things in the book of Revelation that will give us an understanding of the whole book, a bird's eye view of this book of Revelation. It's an exciting book. It's history written in advance. And as events unfold, prophecies become clearer. For centuries, the Church of Jesus Christ has read this book with great interest, but with very limited understanding. There were very few commentaries before the 1900s, and Dr. Schofield, who's a noted Bible scholar, said this in 1930. He said, "This book is so written that as the actual time of the events approach, current events will unlock the meaning of the book," and that is exactly true. Folks, we need the Bible. We need every book in the Bible, because the Bible reveals God's plan and purposes for us, something we could not know without divine revelation. And that is exactly true of the book of Revelation. This is the last book in the Bible, and it's God's final notice to mankind this side of eternity. It's the culmination of all Bible prophecy. It tells us about the future of Israel, tells us about the Gentile nations, and about the church in specific detail. The question is, can we trust the Bible? Some people think the Bible is just written by man and it's man's words and you can't trust it, that it's not 100% inspired. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 testifies that all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture, the entire Bible is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. If you want to know what you believe, what your doctrine should be, then read the Bible. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you want to know how God wants you to live, it's all in the Bible. Can we trust the Bible? Yes, 100%. It's the only truly inspired book in the whole world. The Bible isn't just one book. It's a collection of 66 books. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, there are 27 in the New Testament. It's a library of books. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew with a few short portions in Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Why did God choose these two languages? Because they're so precise. If you want to know what the Bible really, really is saying on a topic, and the English is a little bit uncertain, go back to the original Greek and Hebrew, and there you will find exactly, precisely what God is saying. Imagine if I invited you to write a book with me. And we're going to choose 40 authors. We're going to write this book over a period of maybe 30 years. We're not going to discuss anything. We're not going to talk about what the title is. We're not going to talk about what the genre is. We're not going to talk about what the theme is. I'm just asking each one of you to write a chapter. And in 3 years' time, we'll meet together and put our chapters together. What kind of book do you think we'll get? Some people may write romantic stories, others might write poetry. But I want to tell you that is exactly how the Bible was written. Only it was written over a period of 1600 years, from BC 1400 to about AD 80. 35 to 40 different authors wrote the Bible, wrote these manuscripts. They lived at different times. They lived in different places. Some lived in Babylon, some in Israel, some in Rome. Different times, different places, different languages and styles, yet scientifically, historically, and prophetically, the Bible has been proved 100% accurate. Moses wrote about 1400 BC. John was on the Isle of Patmos writing the book of Revelation we're looking at right now in approximately AD 80. Amazing, amazing book. Different styles, different languages. Some wrote history, prose, poetry, architecture, biographies, drama, preaching and prophecy. Different backgrounds. Some were shepherds, doctors, fishermen, prophets, kings, priests. Some were educated, some were uneducated. They wrote from Israel and Babylon and Rome. There's one amazing thing about this book, Paul writes about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This magnificent book has one theme, salvation. From Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right through to the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, there's one theme. The bloodline runs all the way through when that little animal shed blood and clothed Adam and Eve. It was a prophetical statement about the Lamb of God who was coming to shed the blood and who would clothe believers in the robe of righteousness. It's one book with one theme. It's an amazing book. Some people are worried about translations. They say, well, you know what? This book has been translated so many times. How do we know that what we've got in our hands is a true translation? You can believe that God has protected this book. You see, the original manuscripts are basically lost. Most of the Old Testament ones in particular have been lost. They had scribes who made precise copies of these manuscripts. They were most ancient copies, which hadn't been found for years and years and years. And then we have ancient copies. And most of our Bibles were translated, like the King James Bible, were translated from the ancient copies. But then later, in times of the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found some earlier manuscripts. And when they compared them, Professor Hort says that not more than 1/1000th part of the whole is affected by differences. In no case whatsoever is any doctrine of the faith affected in the slightest by these variations. Sometimes numbers vary. But if you take the King James Bible and you place it next to the New King James Bible, which was translated from an earlier manuscript, you will find that there's very, very, very little difference. You can trust that God kept his Bible intact. So I want to introduce you to the book of Revelation. John the Apostle was one of the 12 apostles that walked with Jesus, and he wrote this book. The Bible calls him the Beloved Apostle. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his faith in Jesus Christ, because in the first 300 years of church history, Christianity was banned. And so Christians were hounded, they were arrested, they were fed to the lions, and John the Apostle was exiled to this little island in Patmos. This is approximately 63 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus that he found himself there, and God gave him this amazing, amazing revelation, which he wrote down. He wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote the three New Testament epistles, which were named after him. That's 1, 2, and 3 John. Domitian was the emperor of Rome at the time, and there was tremendous persecution. Patmos is a small Greek island in the Aegean Sea. It's a very small island. It's about 13 square miles. And it was there that the Lord met with John and gave him this amazing revelation that we know as the book of Revelation. What does the word revelation mean? The Greek meaning is apocalypse. Some people say you can't understand the book of Revelation. It's too difficult. But the Bible says it's a revelation of God's will and plan and purposes for the future. The Greek word apocalypse means it's an uncovering, it's an unveiling, it's a revealing of God's purposes and plans. It's his special revelation to mankind this side of eternity. It tells us about the future of the Jews and the Gentiles, all nations in specific detail, and about current events that we are finding are happening right now in our generation. Folks, this isn't a book that's too mysterious to read and understand. It was given to the Church of Jesus Christ to reveal and not to conceal God's purposes. In fact, you could call the book of Revelation tomorrow's headlines written on its pages. This book is written according to a specific pattern which John shows us in chapter 1, verse 19. The Lord tells him, John, write the things which you have seen, then write the things which are, and then write the things which will take place after this. And that's exactly what John does. He writes the things which you have seen, his revelation of Jesus Christ in particular. And then he writes the things that are, which was the church age that started on the day of Pentecost. And he wrote about the things that are and the situation of the church and the situation of Christians at that time. And then he wrote about the things that would take place after the church age, because the rapture is coming. There's coming a time when the church age will end and we'll be with Jesus in heaven, and Antichrist will reign for the final 7 years of world history. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. I must say something about the symbolism of this book. We need to remember that John, was a first century man. He knew about horses, knew about camels, knew about donkeys, he knew about chariots. And in his revelation, he sees things that he has no idea what they are. He has absolutely no idea. And so he tries to describe him. This first century man tries to describe modern technology from the end times. And so he come out with something like this, Revelation chapter 9, verses 9 to 10. He says, what I'm seeing looks like something that has breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. And their tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Do you know what John could have been describing? Modern warfare. Helicopters with guns and fire coming out of the stings of their tail. These symbols are a series of pictures that John uses to describe what he's seeing, and each has a special meaning. And we find them in the other prophetic books as well, like Daniel and Ezekiel. What we've got here is a first century man describing 21st century technology. We have to appreciate John's difficulty in describing future events in the language of his day. He was called to describe supersonic jets, helicopters, tanks, rocket launches, nuclear warfare, when he was used to sailing ships, chariots, and horses. And that's an impossible task. But the Holy Spirit inspired him. John is told to write the things which you have seen. And so he does. He pens his vision of the risen Lord. And he writes down everything the Lord shows him. The outline of the book, the past, is his vision of the risen Lord, chapter 1, verse 19. He writes about the present, the church age, in chapters 2 and 3. And then he writes about the future, things that will take place after the rapture of the church. That's the outline of this book that we'll be following. He has one exception, and we find that in chapter 10, verse 4. You may have wondered why people have so many different viewpoints about the book of Revelation. Some say this and some say that, and some explain different things in different ways. And the reason for that is that we have a jigsaw puzzle and some of the pieces are missing. So we're trying to make the best we can from the pieces that we have. Notice Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. John says, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write down what they said. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, John, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. John wrote what he heard, he wrote what he saw, but the Lord told him, there's some things I don't want you to write down, John. And so we have some information that's missing. John didn't know everything about the end times. What he did know, he told us. We don't know everything about the end times. Only the Lord knows every detail. And he chose not to tell us. So we have to make the best of what we have. Daniel the prophet also wrote about the end times in much the same detail as John did. And the Lord told him in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, he said, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the times of the end. Your book is for the times of the end. How will you recognize that time? The Lord said, here's a sign for you, Daniel. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. If ever there was a time in the world when the population was moving all over the place, it's now. Knowledge has increased dramatically. My dad died at the age of 90 years. He'd never seen a smartphone. He'd never heard about a car that traveled on battery power. He'd never seen modern technology. But between his generation and our generation, there has been an incredible increase of knowledge. In fact, I heard a scientist say recently that if you took a 24-hour day, all the major events would have happened in the last half hour. All that increase of knowledge, which is quite amazing. So we start in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. And the first thing that John tells us is this is the theme of my book. This is the theme of my book. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This isn't about symbolism. This isn't so much about prophecy and what's going to happen. The book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ, about who he is, what he does, and what he's going to do. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant things which must shortly take place. Notice it's the revelation, singular. It's the revealing and unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's not a blueprint of prophetic truth. The book focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. He's not the bearded sandal Jesus of the first century. He's the glorious Lord from heaven, the one who's coming for his church, and he's coming again to stand on the Mount of Olives and bring an end to history. He says in verse 1, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him to show his servants. It's a revelation from God, not men. It's about the Lord's desire to share the future with his people. It's about his desire to share his plans for this world. Verse 1, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Events that are going to happen quickly and rapidly, and everything the book of Revelation says will take place beyond doubt. It's not about the messenger either. He sent and signified it by his angel to his servants, John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. John said, this book's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not something John dreamed up. It's not something that he personally thought of or prophesied. He just recorded what the Lord showed him. People have so many opinions about this book of Revelation, and they sometimes get carried away. But 2 Peter 1 verse 21 tells us that prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit is needed to interpret the word to us. We have to depend on the Lord to help us understand what this book is really all about. We have to pray about it, read it, meditate on it. I love verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord says, here's a promise for you. Blessed is he who reads. If you read this book and meditate on it, if you read it and you hear the words of this prophecy and you keep those things which are written on it, for the time is near, the Lord said, you are blessed. And so we're going to be blessed. There's a special blessing to those who read and hear and keep living the light of its message. What is the message of the book of Revelation? It's about the imminent return of Jesus Christ, because the time is near. James 5 verse 8 says, be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Titus 2 verse 13 says, we must be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Who is this book intended for? John tells us in verse 4 of Revelation, it's intended for the church. He writes here, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. This book is written to seven churches in Asia Minor, which is now known as Turkey. But its message is for all who will read it, not just for those Christians of the first century. There were other churches in existence at the time when John wrote this book. But John was commanded to send this message to seven specific churches that were in existence at the time. And we're going to learn something about them. The order that they were given actually reflects the changing condition of the church as a whole down through the centuries. It's a historical perspective of the entire church age. And so John writes to the seven churches which are in Asia. He says, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, and from the Holy Spirit as well. Grace and peace. There's the entire Trinity in that verse. Verse 5, it's from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the one who is the ruler over the kings of the earth. The rulers think they're running the earth, but Jesus Christ is the ruler, and he says what's going to happen next. And he finishes this chapter with a beautiful, beautiful word for the church. He said, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, who's made us kings and priests to God our Father, to him, not to us, not to the church, but to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's the one who washed us. He didn't whitewash us, he washed us. Verse 7 of chapter 1 just captures the message of the book. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming back again. Jesus Christ is coming back again. And in verse 8, the Lord confirms it. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, he's eternal, who was, he came to earth at one time, and he is to come. He's coming back again, the Almighty. When the disciples saw Jesus go, the angels told him, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. And the book actually ends, the last chapter of the last book in the Bible ends with this promise from Jesus. He who testifies to these things, Revelation 22:20 says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. His promise is true. Are you ready for the return of Jesus?
Thank you for sharing this time with me. Please visit my website, valwaldick.com. God bless you.